First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
And welcome once again to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline with you. I love doing, and we do three of these a week in various capacities, and they're always available for a variety of networks to pick them up on the KRN radio network. This one that we're doing here is in syndication, and we love when you join us on Spouting Off. So, as you have been watching, this is just as an aside, the Queen Elizabeth II, is still to be buried. She won't be buried until Monday. And all of our flags are at half-mast. I do not begrudge the Brits for their queen. That is what we fought a war to avoid. So I am perplexed by the flags at half-mast, which it's globalism. She wasn't America's queen. She was a world leader. She was a world figure, but we've never, that's not true. We have in the past flown flags at half-mast for public figures like Nelson Mandela during President number 44's administration. I just find it fascinating that we are flying a flag, our American flag, at half-mast in a tribute to Queen Elizabeth. I would guarantee you that there are young people, and in fact, people of all ages, that would find it selfish and petty and inappropriate to find something wrong with that, because we have diminished and weakened our principles, our laws, our Bill of Rights, everything, just to appear good-natured and good-hearted. Meanwhile, the policies being implemented are not good-natured, are not good-hearted, and are harmful to the republic for which it stands. What's one of them is a piece of news that at least conservatives have been talking about as good news, and that is that the gutsy, strong, and unapologetic governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, delivered some presents to Kamala Harris at her home, in front of her, at her home in Martha's Vineyard. And that was a couple of busloads of illegal immigrants. Why'd he do that? Well, let me tell you what I think is why he did it. He did it because Kamala Harris, only a few days ago, claimed that the southern border was secure. Now, I guess Ron DeSantis tried to show her the reality versus the silly rhetoric that we are treated to on a regular basis, that whatever you say must be true if you say it and if you're a Democrat. No, that's not true. So Ron DeSantis took those non-existent illegal aliens who have admitted and said that they are invited to simply walk across the border. He put them in buses and he sent them to Martha's Vineyard. So these are areas, and in fact, Governor Greg Abbott, who is not nearly as proactive as Ron DeSantis, but we don't mind if he does similar things, Greg Abbott of Texas, running for re-election this midterm election. He sends them to Washington, D.C. Why? Because these are areas run by leftists who send illegal immigrants to conservative areas on purpose to make them take care of them. And they do it under the cover of darkness. And then they claim that they are sanctuary cities, that they will be a sanctuary for illegal aliens that they have invited across the border. Never mind the sanctity of life, of just the life, safety, and security of people, citizens in this country that live somewhere on the border or near the border, but never mind the fact that these people who want a better life, and they ain't running from America, they're running to America, don't forget that. Never mind that they have not been vetted for danger, for criminality, for disease, for ill feelings about the United States. As a matter of fact, the more ill feelings they have for the United States, the more they appear to be welcomed in. But guess what? The left that claims they are sanctuary cities for illegals doesn't want them. It took, literally, this is the latest on that, the Federalist is reporting that left-wing Martha's Vineyard elites deported illegal immigrants after just 24 hours. How about that? So when they've been confronted with the reality versus the fantasy versus the gaslighting that says, we're going to tell you what reality is, and not only is it going to be the opposite of the truth, but we're going to punish you and persecute you, that is. That's a very important word these days. We're going to persecute you if you dare to question us. We're going to censor you, shut you down, take you off social media, punish you, and call you the terrorist if you dare to say that what we are telling you isn't true. Think of that. America has been built on civil dissent, not civil defense, but civil dissent, the ability to dissent, the ability for numerous opinions and ideas. And if you ever heard Hillary Clinton's screeching speech, which I have played before during the W. Bush administration, when she was screaming and screeching at a rally, we have a right. I'm not going to do it like she does because I have more respect for you than that. We have a right to disagree with any administration. I'm sick and tired of saying that if you disagree with this administration, you're not patriotic. That was a time, because they keep changing, you know, the rules change according to their political needs. That was a time when they claim to be patriotic. Now they claim that if you're any sort of patriot, if you refer to yourself as a patriot, well, you're really a terrorist. They have gone full circle in turning words and meanings upside down and on their head. So why am I talking about this? You know, and why have I chosen this of all things when there's a million things we could be talking about? This is critically important, not only because it is good news, because defiance to tyranny, speaking the truth in the face of obvious lies, is an act of courage and an act of guts. Like Winston Churchill said, you know, never, 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 never give up. But what do we not give up on? The idea that you, let me back up, the pushback, the defiance to tyranny, the standing up as Ron DeSantis has done is not only good news, but it shows that it works, because now they've been exposed, these leftists, hypocrites, who are telling us that anybody who disagrees with their open border policy that will destroy and is destroying America and our institutions, doesn't matter what color they are, does not matter what color they are. If a country cannot protect its own borders, which is the one of the few jobs the federal government has, then it won't any longer be a country. So Ron DeSantis had the guts not only to push back, but to feed them a little of their own medicine. So that's what we're talking about here. It's time for conservatives, isn't it? And anybody who loves liberty, I don't care what the label is, because it's not really left versus right anymore. People who see that the Democrat Party has abandoned everything that they thought the Democrat Party stood for, which was equal justice under the law, freedom of speech, and some of the most basic principles of America, have found that they've all been turned upside down. So they are the racists. They're saying white people are going to be fired first. That's racist. I don't care what color it is. They're saying that if you dare to question an election, you shouldn't be able to run for office. Think of the logic of that. They do wraparound smears. We know what that is. So it's time to start feeding them their own medicine and let the public see who they really are. They're doing a real good job of it. We have some astonishingly good guests this hour. Can't wait to tell you about the first one when we come back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them. But I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives. But he was there beside me. And my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off in the middle of September, just about 6 weeks before the midterm elections in America. One of the great joys I have to do as many episodes, we're on 396 episodes of Spouting Off, is that I get to meet such great guests. This next one I interviewed only a week ago on another one of our broadcasts, and it was so good I wanted to bring her on this show. We kind of hit it off, and for a variety of reasons, and that just happens that way, you know, chemistry and all. Her name is Diane Betterman, and she is a Canadian author, speaker, and journalist, passionate about, no wonder we get along, religion, ethics, politics, and mental health. Her love of religion has led her to serve as a multi-faith endorsed hospital chaplain. She holds degrees in science and the humanities, and I could go on, but I won't have time to talk to her. Her latest book, Bullies of Woke and the Assault on Mental Health. Diane Betterman, thank you so much for joining us once again on Spouting Off.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It is. It is. And hello to Canada. Heavens to Pete. I want to get right into your book and talking about mental health in particular. You really have highlighted that as an issue in the Bullies of Woke and their assault on mental health. Why'd you decide to frame that book that way?
Oh, I wish I could take credit for that. Truly. I was talking to a friend, and we were discussing bullying, and we were discussing progressive stuff. And then we got on to mental illness, and the person said to me, hey, bullying and mental illness. And that's where it went. Mm-hmm. You just never know what you're going to come up to when you talk to your local friends at your local coffee shop.
And you know what, Diane? It highlights, there's a lot of meaning to choosing those words, because it highlights that whatever the radical left accuses everyday normal citizens of, Kurt Schlichter calls them the normals, is what they're either getting ready to do or are doing. They're bullying other people who don't agree. Talk about what woke does to mental health and how it's an assault on mental health.
If I could, there's a chapter in the book, and it is my favorite because it speaks directly to how the left is implementing or causing mental illness. The chapter is called Revenge Racism. There are experts, and I name them in the book, who talk about the damage done in intergenerational problems with slavery and racism, how it harmed children. There is no arguing that. When you make someone feel lesser than, you're going to harm them. And some people, it will affect their mental health. We know about this. We hear about it all the time. And what are these people doing now that we've acknowledged that treating someone as lesser than, which goes against America's Constitution, which clearly states all people are born with equal intrinsic value? How are we fixing that? Oh, we're telling people that white people are evil. The same black experts that warned about the damage are now doing to white people what they feel was done to their people.
I might add, Diane, I might just throw in, it's often the white liberals that are doing that, not even black people. But white liberals are they're white, but they want to smear, frame, and throw all people into one big bucket of deplorables, don't they? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I threw that out.
But what I'm watching in America, which is happening in Canada, but we're so tiny, it doesn't matter. America's ethic, and this is what I've always written about, is under attack. The Judeo-Christian ethic is under attack by revenge racism. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that revenge belongs only to God. America is not an honor, shame, revenge-based culture, as are most cultures around the world. It is one that's based on justice and mercy, charity and loving kindness. Granted, we haven't perfected that. We never will, because only God is perfect. But you have in America people like Ibram X. Kendi, who is right up there in my top five evil, telling people that being white is dangerous, it's evil, it causes all kinds of terrible things. Biden's administration supports Ibram's teachings, and this is all about revenge. Well, you heard us, so now we're going to tell you that white people are very, very bad people. Dr. Don.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. Okay. You were not finished. I just want to unpack this a little bit in this segment that we have, which is never long enough. And that is the accountability that they take away. If they take away accountability, and Dennis Prager is famous for saying, those who are kind to the cruel will be cruel to the kind. So it's not kind if you don't hold people accountable in some rational justice way that is equal to us all. If you promise that some people will get away with stuff and some people won't by virtue of the color of their skin, sounds like revenge racism, doesn't it, Diane?
Right. But the problem then again is our ethic, and I can't keep telling this enough, and I've written a book about it called Back to the Ethic, Reclaiming Western Values. The ethic talks about rights, but holding hands with responsibilities. The ethic teaches that we are the subject of our destiny. Our moral agency helps us make decisions to be the best. We are not born into our fate. Now, when you start teaching black people, which is the thing that goes with revenge racism, well, because you're black, you're not going to succeed. Victimology leads to horrible mental illness. Horrible. When you tell someone you're helpless, helplessness for me as someone who has a mental illness is worse than hopelessness. When you tell a black person, well, it's not your fault, you're black, where's the impetus to try to do better? It tells you you can't. When you start telling white people that you suffer from whiteness and it's terrible and there's no permanent cure, how's that going to help anyone? There are children that are being taught in school today because of Ibram X. Kendi and the Biden administration that, you know, being white is very evil. You should go home and discuss the problem of whiteness with your family. That's what you need to do when you are white. That happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, because a child was at school and she came home and asked her white mommy, "Mommy, are we evil because we're born white?" This is taking place in America today, all over America. And dear America, I have two children and six grandchildren living in your country. I'm counting on you to stand up and fight back against the harm being done to black and white children because of color, and because we have people like Patrice Couleurs who talked about, oh, the poor black people, Black Lives Matter. She owns a $6 million residence. Well, how did you get that if you're a black victim? And then some other black person says, what, black people can't do well? Well, that's what you told me. You told me in Black Lives Matter that black people being black are going to fail and white people being white are evil. These are cultures that have nothing to do with America.
Let me ask you, Diane.
I'm getting angry. I'm sorry, Karen.
No, that's why we have talk radio. You can be as passionate as you want.
Okay,
I don't know
being
how much
passionate.
Please be passionate. I don't think, I want to get your thoughts in our last couple of minutes. It's really, really short. I don't think that this is a means to an end. I truly do believe that all the divisiveness, the dividing Americans, having them at each other's throats is part of a plan. Because as you know, the Black Lives Matter, they said they were trained Marxists. They said their goal was to destroy the nuclear family. It is all for a purpose. This is just a tactic. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. There is a plan. You know, every time I say there is a plan, it's like a conspiracy theory. There is a plan to destroy America the freedom-loving country whose, again, I can't say this enough, whose ethic is based in the Hebrew Bible that changed the world about being responsible for your actions. There is a plan to destroy freedom. How? Destroy the family from the bottom up with transgender and teaching white people are evil and black people are victims, and then coming around from the top and doing what's always done, divide and conquer. And the
it is heartbreaking, but we have only 10 seconds. Tell everybody how they can find your book, Bullies of Woke and Their Assault on Mental Health.
You can go to Amazon.com, and you can also go and learn more about the book on my blog site, BEDERMAN.com, and you can find my books and my blogs.
Thank you, Diane. I can't wait to talk to you again. Diane Betterman.
Thank you, Karen.
All right. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about Constitution Day. It's coming up.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
So good to have you along here on Spouting Off, whether you're listening on a Tuesday or a Friday or a Sunday or a Monday. We love Spouting Off, and we hope you will start spouting off more yourself. And it's a good thing. It means you're speaking uncensored. You're not censoring yourself. You're saying what's on your mind. And sometimes I think maybe I'm too negative when I do talk radio, but I got to be honest. I got to tell the truth. There is good news around, but here is something of which it is excellent news. Here to help us talk about it is one of my favorite guests. Every time I have him on, I think about the things we've talked about, and then I just have more questions. And that's what a good guest is all about. His name is Scott Powell. He has been a fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institution, currently senior fellow at Discovery Institute, having been a frequent guest on national radio and television. He has published 250 articles in so many publications, including the ones you know, everyone knows, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, USA Today, not always conservative ones. His first book caused such a stir, he was called on twice to provide expert witness testimony for the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. Guess what we're going to talk about? Constitution Day, and it's coming up right now this week. Welcome, Scott Powell, once again to Spouting Off.
Well, it is such a pleasure to be with you again.
It's a pleasure always to have you, and we appreciate your time. Constitution Day, you write, I think you wrote it yourself, is the most important but forgotten holiday this year. Tell us why.
Well, first of all, a little bit of history about Constitution Day. It is not a federal or national holiday for which people have the day off and get paid, a paid holiday. It is what's known as a national observance holiday. So I certainly can give grace to the people who don't realize there is such a holiday. But the reason that it's significant, and it may well be the most important holiday to understand, especially now, as compared with other national holidays, is really because the pressing national problems today are a result of corruption and departure from governance and law enforcement consistent with the Constitution. As a result, our country is threatened more now, I think, than at any time since the seven southern states seceded from the Union in the Civil War, prior to the Civil War breaking out. So, I mean, I could spend some time in going back on that and why the Constitution is so miraculous, but let's jump ahead and think about what I've just said. So the political corruption that's undermined the Constitution all around us is worse than at any other time in our country. I really believe that. So let's punctuate that. We now have a record number of undocumented and illegal immigrants, criminals, and terrorists pouring over our southern border daily. And the numbers now, the aggregate numbers since Biden took office, is close to 5 million people have crossed the border. Now, some of them have been repatriated, but that's a huge number. We've seen the defunding of police and wholesale increase in crime. We have lost our energy independence. Fourth, we have runaway inflation. Fifth, we have the inexplicable turnover of $80 billion of advanced U.S. military equipment to the Taliban, formally recognized as terrorists in Afghanistan when we had that hasty and ill-thought evacuation. We have the censorship and deplatforming of independent voices and the legacy in social media. We have the increase of government control of media narratives, and we see that with COVID. We see it with the vote issues. And we have this political weaponization of law enforcement agencies against groups protesting school boards, questioning election integrity, or researching the patterns of vote fraud and polling irregularities. That these people are now being charged with being, you know, domestic terrorists? This is so outrageous that one can't digest this without saying, well, if that's all true, America's a banana republic. It's no longer a constitutional republic. And that's true. We had an illegitimate election 2 years ago, so we have the installation of an illegitimate president.
And if you
all
do
of these
not
policies
acknowledge
that we see going down are not necessarily a function of Joe Biden, because he's incapable of thinking through these nefarious things. But there are people behind him who want to take America down, and they are basically, he's a compromised man, and he's putting forth these policies to achieve that, that America could fall without the enemy ever firing a shot.
Well, thanks for all the good news, Scott Powell. This is what I talk
about.
Well,
that's why the Constitution is good news,
no,
and I can share why it is. But I wanted to frame the discussion of why it's important, and why it's important to get a hold of my book, Rediscovering America, because this is just one chapter in the book. And arguably, it is the longest chapter, because I felt that the Constitution is so important to understand how powerful it is, how it protects us, how it is truly the model government for a godly people.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cut to the chase, but I am delighted to say we're going to keep you for at least part of, if not all of, the next segment. I can just hear the voices out there, because our audience is very... a lot of them have the curse of awareness. That's what I call it. Some of them got the curse of awareness 9 or 10 years ago. And they're saying, well, that's all fine and good. We love the Constitution. That's why we want to go back to it. But what do you do when people who have the reins of power are shredding the Constitution as we speak without any accountability? Hard question, but I know you can handle it.
You want me to tackle it now? I'll start.
Yeah.
If we need to go to a break, let me know.
You know
well,
what?
The most important thing is to understand the two firsts in American, that we can say about America, that it is the first country in all of human history in the formation of government that accomplished two amazing things. Number one, it established that the purpose of government is to protect the unalienable God-given rights of the people, and those rights include the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that the role of government is to protect the people and protect their freedom. In other words, the people are to be free, and you're to protect that freedom. And number two, the other first in human history, was the recognition that the legitimacy of the government is only established through the people, and the people's voice give the legitimacy to the government. That's why vote fraud is such an egregious crime. It is really treason against our country for this to have happened, because the people's voice was cut off. So we don't have the people's voice choosing our government.
So purpose.
What do we do about this?
Purpose.
Well,
right. What do we do about it?
We push back. But in terms of right now, what everyone needs to do is we all know lots of people, and some of the people are with us, and some of the people are confused or on the fence, and some people are against us. So you have to choose carefully. Your time is valuable. Don't waste your time on brainwashed people. But those people that don't understand the stakes, you need to bring them, you need to educate and bring them along so that they know how to vote on November 8th, and that they do vote. And I think we who are more committed with a notion that we have to sacrifice a little bit more than we have, just as the founders sacrificed everything for our country, we can sacrifice an hour or two a week. We could certainly sacrifice a whole day on election day on November 8th. In other words, get trained and volunteer to be a poll watcher, to, you know, to stand over those vote counting tables, because we cannot, we have to mitigate vote fraud everywhere. There, right. It will happen. But I'd also remind everybody that we're likely to see some false flag events between now and election day, where there may be a push to postpone the election, to stop the election, and we the people have to demand that that not happen. No matter what happens, we have a, you know, I mean, if we had a power outage everywhere, I don't know that you could have, you'd have to postpone the election because it requires electricity to, you know, count the votes and move things and so forth.
Let's hold that thought there. Scott Powell is with us, a real treasure, who will tell us more. We'll get a little deeper into Constitution Day itself and why it's so important. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off, and we're wrapping it up with the final segment. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me, and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Share Healthcare, how can I
help? I missed the deadline.
What deadline?
The healthcare deadline. I'm locked out.
We don't have any deadlines at Share Healthcare. You can enroll with us at any time.
Oh, but can I afford it?
Share Healthcare programs start at $149 a month.
Less than $5 a day. Can I keep my doctor?
Absolutely. Pick your own doctor and hospital.
Amazing. How do I join?
Just visit sharehealthcare.com.
Sharehealthcare.com.
Sometimes you need a woman's opinion, especially if you're trying to do the impossible, which is to understand women. I'm not really comfortable talking about certain things with women I know or even with family members. I used to wish there was a smart woman who didn't know me, but who would care enough to give me good advice. Now there is. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only, but it's not therapy or phone dating. It's just wise advice. Is completely anonymous because you call and pay through liveadvice.com. So I decided to give it a try. I was amazed at Aunt Emma's insights. She gave me a lot to think about so I could decide what to do next. And maybe she can help you too. Find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or register at liveadvice.com and you can speak to her practically right away. Again, you can find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or you can register at liveadvice.com. Get the female perspective. Just ask Aunt Emma. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only. Must be 18 or older.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Oh, welcome, everybody. I'm always rushed at the end, it seems, no matter how much I leave time. So thank you to Don, to everyone who produces this show during the week, and especially our third show of the week. And it's syndication in all kinds of places. We are talking to the wonderful Scott Powell, author of Rediscovering America. You can find his website and read more from him on at www.rediscoveringamerica.net. And we're talking about the most important holiday that we will celebrate all year, Constitution Day. Thank you, Scott Powell, for staying with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, Karen, it's a pleasure. It really is.
So I
can't remember where we left off, but if we go back to the, let's go back to the beginning, the Constitution and how it was formed.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
There were two amazing miracles that clearly show the hand of God in the beginning of America, in the formation of America. There were two big events. There was first the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence. It lasted five long years from 1776 to 1781. And the colonial army, the Continental Army, as it came to be known, was always on the defensive. It was a miracle that this small, underfunded, underequipped, undertrained American militia could defeat Great Britain, which was then the most formidable military power in the world. And just to give you a picture, you know, America really had no merchant navy presence. It didn't have naval warships. Well, when the war took place, they said, well, we've got to get some naval presence. Let's convert a few merchant ships into warships. And, of course, that doesn't make them a warship, because in those days, it's cannonballs hitting the side of the ship. And a merchant ship is not as well and thickly constructed as a warship. Like Old Ironsides in Boston is a ship where the cannonballs bounced off it, because it was designed as a warship. We had seven of those converted merchant ships. And wow. The British had 270 warships in our waters. How were we going to defeat the greatest military power in the world? But we did, and it was because of God's hand was on America. And the second miracle was in the forming of the drafting of the Constitution, which came, you know, a good number of years after the military victory at Yorktown. The Constitutional Convention took place in 1787. That was 6 years after the Paris Peace Treaty that ended the war. By contemporary standards, it's absolutely inconceivable how delegates from 13 extraordinarily disparate states could muster the forbearance and magnanimity, you know, big-heartedness, to agree on the terms of a new constitution, after only 4 months of deliberation. They started that convention in May, like the end of the second week in May, and the Constitution was signed on September 17th, which is why we call tomorrow, September 17th, Constitution Day. But isn't it incredible that these people from 13 different states could agree, come together, and sign something? If the hand of God wasn't on that, then I don't know what else can explain it.
Scott Powell, don't we need the hand of God again today to save
us,
to give us
courage? And the hand of God is, we see
return
it at work.
America.
We yeah. see it in subtle ways, but I think God's hand is going to move in much bigger ways in the months to come. I really believe that, because we have a strong Christian remnant in this country, a prayerful Christian remnant, and we do need to pray. We do need to repent for our country, because we've committed horrible sins against God. But we still have a large remnant, and we know that God will honor that. And we know that we can't overcome Satan ourselves. We cannot overcome this evil that envelops the land that I just documented and all these policies that we're pursuing, which are all taking America down.
Yeah. Well, but, on purpose. You know, it bears on purpose. Mentioning right. that yeah. our religious pluralism, yes, there are many, many Christian conservatives, but you don't have to be a Christian to love America, to love religious pluralism, and to love the Constitution that declares freedom of religion. As a proud Jewish person, I stand with Christians in wanting to be accountable to God instead of men who want to be God in everyone else's universe. So let me ask you, with our last minute or two, couple of minutes, how could we, should we, ought we to celebrate Constitution Day on September 17th?
Well, originally it was thought and it was suggested. I don't know that it was official policy in our educational system at any time. Of course, the Department of Education really wasn't established in Carter until Carter formed it in, I think, 1979. I think it was actually established. So before that, you know, schools were all local. Control of schools was entirely a local thing. Schools were encouraged to take the day off from the usual curriculum and focus the students' attention on the Constitution. You know, learn about it, study it, what it is. And, of course, there's plenty of curriculum for different levels of different grade levels, different levels of sophistication, if you will, to do that. And there are resources that exist today to help people. My book is one of them. But it is, you know, it's a great story. And if people connect to it and they realize that their way of life, their very freedom, their prosperity is contingent on a constitutional government, a government that is given boundaries, is given limitations on what it can do, and a government which empowers the people and really allows the people to be free and be creative, be inventive, be entrepreneurial, because that's where the solutions to society take place, in the private sector. You know, people are always coming up with better ways of doing things, and then they monetize that, right? If you've got a great idea and you can monetize it, you're entitled to the profit. And that has been the story of the explosive growth in the U.S. economy from, you know, from those early days of the Constitution until, you know, World War II came, which was when it was probably less than 200 years, America was the number one economic power in the world. Yes. That's remarkable.
We can hear your passion. We have to wrap it up. We can hear your passion and love for this country, and many of our listeners feel the same way. Thank you so much. Get his book, Rediscovering America, Scott S. Powell. Thank you for joining us. We always love having you.
And Karen, the next time I'm on your show, I want to tell you the story of the role of a key Jewish immigrant who provided the funding for the Continental Army.
Can't wait to hear it. We'll have you on. Wraps it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in always and keep on spouting off.